You know, here we like to win souls. Amen. We like to share good news with people and watch that good news transform a life. Hallelujah. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Acts for a moment. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 14. It says, "These all," say all, "continued with one accord," say one accord, "in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Okay? So the Lord put it on my heart very recently, and I put this together. We're going to have 50 days of prayer. Everybody say 50 days. 50 days. It's going to be 50 consecutive days. All right? And because when they prayed in the here before the day of Pentecost, and when the day of Pentecost came, 3,000 souls came into the kingdom. So what we're going to do is beginning Sunday, this Sunday the 23rd, we're going to pray as part of our regular services, and then we're going to pray before our service on Wednesday. And I'm inviting everyone to participate, and we're going to meet at the church at 6 p.m. It'll begin Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because Mondays will be covered by our intercessory team. Sundays we'll pray as part of our service. But I want to encourage everyone, anyone that's interested, to join us and to participate. And the reason, and we're going to pray for 120 souls to get born again. We're going to pray for doors of opportunity to be open to VCF to minister to those who are lost. We want to declare that Jesus is Lord and that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We want to pray in the Spirit and in English to intercede for the lost. We want to seek God's face and find out how He wants us to reap the harvest. You know, He has a specific plan and a strategy, and so we want to get heaven's mindset. Amen? And when people come together, there's an anointing on corporate prayer. So we're just going to come together and pray. And we're going to do that from August 23rd to October 11th. And then October 11th is a Sunday. We're going to have a special service that Sunday to celebrate what God has done. And we're going to believe for... the Lord put it this way. He said, 50 days of prayer will bring a supernatural harvest. All right? And because there's many things that we could do when it comes to outreach or evangelism. But the Lord knows best. Amen? So we're just going to come together. And if anybody is interested in leading a period of time, I've already had one person share with me that they want to lead the Saturdays. So they're going to take the Saturdays. And if you want to lead a period of time, let me know. And whatever you can do if you want. And if you don't want to lead, that's okay too. But we're just going to come together. I mean, we're believing for breakthrough. Amen? They continued. They all continued. There was 120 of them. And they were in the upper room until the day of Pentecost. And there was activity. They were making prayers and supplication. Supplication is a prayer with a specific request. And we want to, you know, our goal is we're going to see 120 people get born again. Amen? So these sheets are on our Be a Witness table. And if you want to take one, take it home and look at it so that you can get the vision. I've made it plain so that you can see it and run with it. Amen? And we're going to believe God, and it's going to be glorious. Amen? You say, what's God going to do? I don't know. But He's going to do something. Amen? And we're going to changed from talking about an overcoming church. We've touched on every church except for Philadelphia, and basically they were instructed to keep the word. But I just really felt to talk about what we're going to talk about tonight. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many here tonight would say that you have a need, a want, and a desire that you have that you need God to do? A need, a want, or a desire, right? Could we all raise our hand in that category? It could be a need, it could be a want, and it could be a desire. You say, God doesn't meet your wants. Oh, really? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He knows what you have need of before you pray, but he wants us to pray that your needs be met. So he wants to meet your needs, your wants, and your desires. All right? Now, he wants to do that, but it is up to us to receive. All right? Say, I'm a receiver. You know, how many has ever tried to find a radio station that you liked? You know, I used to travel when I was in college. On breaks, I would drive from Cleveland, Tennessee, and I would go to Illinois, which is about 10 hours. And at that time, I had a little red Toyota pickup truck, and I had an FM or AM radio, and sometimes you couldn't get stations that you'd like to listen to in between places. You know, so I gotta keep turning the knob until I tune in to get that station. When I get a strong signal, I can receive the station. All right? So I just want to talk to you tonight about receiving from God. Because God wants to meet your needs, your wants, and your desires. You say, and you know, let's just take healing for an example. All right? Let's say you need to be healed of something, an infirmity or a sickness. And you do what you know to do. You come and you get hands laid on, you're seeking the Lord, but you're still not healed. Does that mean that it's not God's will to be healed? No. Does that mean that God doesn't want you healed? No. It simply means that you didn't receive. And that could be for a variety of reasons. It doesn't mean you don't lack faith. It just means that you didn't receive. A connection wasn't made somewhere along the process. All right? But we're gonna connect tonight. All right? We're going to hook up and we're going to become receivers. You know, and there's four simple ways that you could receive from God. I'm going to give them to you, then we're going to talk about them. All right? Number one is you got to hear. You got to hear the word. You got to hear the truth. All right? Number two, you've got to believe that what you heard is true, and you got to become persuaded of it. All right? You got to become convinced. All right? And so you hear, you believe, and then you have to obey. All right? And then finally, you have to act. You have to perform an action. You have to do what, and obedience and the action are kind of linked. All right? But you have to hear, you have to believe, you have to obey, and you have to act. All right? What if you hear, believe, and obey, but you don't act? Huh? There's no action that shows what you believe. There's no corresponding action. What do you think is going to happen? You're not going to make a connection. All right? And you're still going to be without. Okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's go to verse 9, all right? It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. First of all, I want you to know that God's got some things prepared for you, all right? He's prepared things before us, even, you know, we probably haven't even gotten to all the things that God has prepared for us. I know I haven't. There's a lot of things that have been prepared for me that I don't have in my possession. But I'm about to make a shift in my thinking. Amen? I want to possess more of these things that God has prepared for me. Who does he prepare them for? For the ones he loves. All right? Or for them that, for those that love him. Okay? Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to unto us by his Spirit." So it's from his Spirit that you have to hear it. All right? "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." Now, verse 12. "Now we have received," say, "I've received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Everything that God wants to get to us is originated in the Spirit. All right? And you have to think of faith as kind of like an invisible hand. It reaches up into the Spirit and it brings down what God has for us in this natural realm. All right? That's what faith does. And he said that we have the Holy Spirit. When you come to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized in the Spirit, you have the Spirit. Okay? And he is the primary person that's going to see that you get what's yours. First of all, he's going to show you what's yours. He's going to reveal to you what's yours. He's going to let you know in some way that God has this for you. You might be reading your Bible someday, and you might come across a thing and you go, "Woo, that's for me. That's for me." You might get all excited because it's for you. How many's ever done that? You sat reading your Bible and something jumped out at you. I can remember when I was sitting in Bible school, and I think it was Old Testament survey, and we came across Galatians 3:29 for some reason. But when I read that verse, "If you be Christ and Abraham's seed, your heirs according to the promise," woo, something on the inside of me, it was like, it jumped on me. And I was like, "That's for me, that's for me." And guess what? It was for me. But it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit showed me that that particular verse was for me. And at that moment, that became my future. God showed me my future. He showed me a glimpse. I didn't know what that meant in my life at that time. When he first showed it to me, I just knew it was for me. And as I progressed, it became more apparent of what that means. Okay? Why have we received the Spirit? Look at verse 12. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." How many want to know the things that are freely given to you by God? Now, why did he say "might know"? Huh? Did you ever wonder why he put a "might" in there? Why do you think he put a "might" in there? Because only those that are listening, only those that hear. How does faith come? By hearing. By hearing what? By the Word of God. So when you hear the Word, faith, the faith factory is producing faith in your life. It's like an assembly line. Faith, 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 faith. And you're the consumer. And you can take that faith. So whenever you're hearing the Word, faith is being produced, right? This is why he said "might." Is salvation for everybody? How come all aren't saved? Because some have heard and listened, some have not. Some have heard and not listened. But it's for everybody, right? But not everybody is benefiting from salvation. But God gave it to the world. It's His desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So what did God do? He called preachers and teachers and apostles and prophets and pastors. He called them to tell people what His word says so that they can hear. Because once they hear and they believe and they obey and they do, then they're going to receive what's theirs. All right? I'm not going too fast for you, am I? Are you with me? Okay? Now notice verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. What does he mean by natural? Huh? Did Thomas receive the report that Jesus was resurrected? No. He said, I'm not going to believe until I can see and feel. In other words, if I was to tell you that I have a briefcase here filled with money, all right? But maybe those in the back, you can't see the briefcase. So you would have to believe that I have a briefcase full of money. And you might say, well, I'm not going to believe that until I see it. You know, show me the money. Well, Jesus made a statement to Thomas. Did he allow Thomas to see and feel him? Yep. Jesus appeared. He said, put your hands in my side. Feel the wounds. Okay, Thomas did. Okay, now I believe. But Jesus said, blessed are they who believe but don't see. Why? Because the natural man does not receive the things of God. So if you're oriented to be governed by the natural man, that's your senses. How many senses do we have? Five: sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing. All right? If you're governed by your senses, you're going to miss what God wants you to have. You're not going to receive. He says right here, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You mean I got to believe I receive before I can actually feel? That's crazy. You mean I got to pray to a God whom I can't see? That's crazy. Well, they're not going to receive. You know, the Pharisees, they were natural-oriented people. Jesus, you know, there were some Pharisees that believed, but because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, they did not confess Him. They didn't take that action. They missed in their receiving. Therefore, a lot of the Pharisees went without receiving what God had for them. He also said that you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. They were focused on the natural, on the outside, on the external. And the natural person cannot know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? The New Living Translation says, God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. How many know that God's things are wonderful? And they're free to us. It costs Jesus a lot, but they're free to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. The NIV says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Okay? So we have to connect to what God has for us through the Spirit. The Spirit is like the tow bar. Okay? It connects our vehicle with what God has for us, and it brings them together, the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. If you're awake, say amen. 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 You're all awake. Praise the Lord. You don't want to miss this. I mean, because there's things that we need to receive, right? Our confession says God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That's Psalms 37, I think it's 5. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God takes pleasure in your prosperity? That means that God is happy when you're rich. Say, God wants me rich. Say it again. Say, God wants me rich. Say, God wants our church rich. Amen. He does. Did you know that he became poor so that we could become rich? Proverbs chapter 4. And let's look at verse 20. My son, or my daughter, attend to my words. What does attend mean? Pay attention, listen, focus. Why? Because it's important. Why would he say attend to my words? Because that's where faith comes from. That's the Holy Spirit is going to show you through the word what's yours. All right? This is God's will and testament. He had an Old Testament, then he revised it and made a New Testament. But see, the New Testament included everything in the Old, but some more. I like that. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Jesus fulfilled the law, and he gave us a better covenant on better promises that we can enter into a new and living way. But my son, notice he didn't make a suggestion, did he? Now, would you attend to my, would you listen, please? Would you attend to my words, please? He didn't make a suggestion. He said, attend to my words. You know, like in the army, when you have the when a general walks in, everybody says, ten hut. You got to stand at attention when someone of a higher rank comes in. And they have to say, ten hut, and they have to stand there at attention. Why? Because the military honors rank. Because without honoring rank, it would be chaos. And the military operates on order. There's also rank in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? There's no rank in the family of God, but there is rank in the kingdom of God. Attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay? Why? For they are life to those that find them. Did you know that there's life in the word? Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. They produce life. But you've got to listen. You've got to pay attention. You've got to incline your ear. What does that mean? You've got to get close. You've got to be in close fellowship with the Lord. Now, what are you saying, Lord? What are you telling me? What are you showing me? We got to listen. Every sermon that you're in, the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. And he might speak to you something different than what the preacher is saying, but when you're listening, that's because the only way that we know what belongs to us is through revelation. It's through the Holy Spirit showing us what's ours. All right? For they are life to those that find them. See, if you're not listening to the word, you may not find it. Did you ever think about that? When you're not looking at the word, you might forget what it says. How many has ever gotten ready in the morning, you look in the mirror, make sure everything's okay, and you walk away and you forget something. Like, oh, I forgot to brush my hair. I forgot to get that spot off. You know, sometimes when Gabriel brushes his teeth, he doesn't always clean his mouth good, you know? And so I have to tell him, Gabriel, you got to go wipe your mouth off, because he missed that. You know, the James talks about looking into a mirror and then walking away and forget what you see. You don't want to be a forgetful hearer. How many's ever forgotten their keys? You know, it's hard to get somewhere where you when you don't know where your keys are, unless you have a spare set. In Tennessee, I locked my keys in my apartment 3 times. You think I'd learn? But thank God I was able to get in. Because they're life to those that find them. But you got to pay attention, you got to listen, you got to look, and you got to keep it in your heart. How do you get the word from the book into your heart? Huh? It's a process called meditation. How many has ever memorized something? What's 9 times 2? Because you memorized your times tables, right? And you went over it and over it and over it and over it until you could recite it by memory. That's what it means to keep it in the midst of your heart. You've got to go over it and over it and over it until it becomes a part of you. Because that's how the Holy Spirit works. Okay? How many know the story of Bartimaeus? He was blind. And he was sitting by the road. He was begging because that's all that he could do. In those days, they didn't have a school for the blind. You know, in those days, it was tough. And if you had any kind of infirmity, all you could do was beg. And Bartimaeus was there, you know, people were passing by and he was begging. And all of a sudden, he heard something. He heard Jesus pass by. And when he heard, he believed what he heard. He believed that Jesus was a deliverer, he was a miracle worker, he was a healer. Because then he obeyed. He started to cry out. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd said, be quiet. The master's going to a meeting. Don't bother him. He doesn't have time in his schedule. Do you have an appointment? You know what? He got louder. Because what he heard, he believed, and he wasn't going to let his miracle pass him by. So he began to go after it. He began to go after his miracle. Jesus, he cried the louder, the Bible says. When the crowd told him to be quiet, he got louder. Listen, don't let people hinder you from what God has for you. Don't let people stop you from what God has for you. The Bible says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't listen to the ungodly. But Bartimaeus, he couldn't see, but he could hear. And what he heard was enough for him to act. And as he began to cry out, you can study Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. I'm not having you turn there right now. I'm just telling you. And when he cried out, the very crowd that told him to be quiet had to go to Bartimaeus and said, the master wants you to come there. He's like, okay. And he threw off his old garment. In other words, he was ready for a change. And what changed was what he heard and what he believed changed his life. Now, he could have sat there. He could have not said anything after the crowd said, be quiet. He said, oh, I better not. No. See, when you know that God has something for you, you don't let anything stop you from getting to it. Nothing. You go after it with everything in you. You pursue it. And he did. And Jesus came to Bartimaeus. They brought him to Jesus. And he said, what would you have me do? In other words, he said, name your miracle. He had Jesus' full attention. Jesus was willing to do anything that Bartimaeus wanted. He was wanting to meet his need, his want, and his desire. Why? Because he heard, because he believed, because he obeyed and he acted. Okay? Your obedience could be acting on what the Word says. If you want God to bless you financially, what must you do? If you want God to bless you financially, come on, talk to me. Tithe and give offerings, right? Okay? If you don't, can you expect God to bless you? No, because we're not obeying and acting on the Word. The Word clearly says tithe and give offerings, because he said, Malachi, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. They said, where have we robbed God? Oh, you know, my portion you've kept for yourself, that's where you robbed me. Well, that's going to stop the blessing from coming in your life. It's a spiritual law. I'm sorry, but the Bible says if you want to gain, you got to give. Jesus gave, didn't he? Was there anything that Jesus left to himself? No, he gave it all. I mean, you talk about, you know, sometimes they have these poker games on TV, and I'm flipping through the channels, you know, and I see them, they'll say all in. They put all their chips in, and that's what Jesus did. He put it all in. But you know what? He is still reaping a harvest on his gift. His harvest is still producing. So Bartimaeus, what happened to Bartimaeus? He told Jesus that I might receive my sight. And Bartimaeus was told by Jesus, let's go to Mark 10 and just read that for a minute. Mark 10. And it's verse around 46. Or no, verse 52. Jesus said unto him, go your way, because I performed a miracle. Is that what he said? No. He said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Okay? Bartimaeus had a need and a want. He wanted to see. He was tired of begging. He was tired of being blind. But what changed in Bartimaeus? The person who walked by him changed. He had several people walk by that he never cried out after, except for one. That was the Word. When he heard Jesus, he heard the Word. He heard how Jesus healed people. He heard how he performed miracles. Otherwise, he wouldn't shout to get a healing unless he heard about healing. He had faith for healing because he heard about healing. And he believed it. How do we know he believed it? Because he acted on it. His belief was evidenced by what he did. And he received, didn't he? But his miracle could have walked by. Jesus could have walked by and he could have never said anything. He could have been silent. And he still would have been blind. But he chose not to be silent. He chose to vocalize. He chose to go after what he wanted. And he got it. Why can't we all be like Bartimaeus? We can! That's what I'm telling you! We can be like Bartimaeus. We can do what he did. He heard. He believed. He obeyed and acted. Simple, isn't it? Say, this faith stuff is simple. Say, I can do this faith stuff. You can. Go with me to Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's go down to verse 18. Did Abraham have a need, want, and desire? What was his desire? He wanted a child, in particular a son, because he had a promise from God that he was going to be a father of many nations, right? Well, if you're going to be a father of one nation, you're going to have a kid somewhere, right? You can't be a father of many nations and not have any children, okay? And verse 18 of Romans 4 says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken." Notice he didn't say according to how he felt, or according to the doctor's report, or according to Sarah's capability, or to his performance. He didn't say that. He said it was according to what was spoken. How do you know if something was spoken unless you hear it? Right? "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." He was not natural. So therefore, he qualified to receive what the Spirit was going to give him, because he was not governed by his natural body. He didn't even consider his body. His body wasn't even a thought or a consideration at this point in his life. Why? Because he heard over and over and over again throughout his 25 years from 75 to 100, he heard that he's going to be a father of many nations. His name was even changed. He started calling himself a father of many nations. He heard it over and over and over and over again. You know, sometimes we have to hear something more than once in order for faith to develop within us. Just because you hear something once doesn't mean you're all ready to believe it. Oh yeah, I heard it, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to accept it. Meditate on it a little bit. Now, in some cases, you might hear it and believe it and you're hooked up with it. But in other cases, you got to hear it and hear it and hear it. Faith comes by hearing. Say hearing. The Bible didn't say faith comes by having heard. That means you got to continually hear. If you want to keep your faith strong, you got to continually hear. "Not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb." I don't even think it was a part of their conversation. Abraham and Sarah weren't sitting at dinner talking about how dead their bodies were. They were talking about how good God is. There's a difference. If they'd have been having conversations about how dead their body was, faith, they'd have been nullifying their faith. But he was strong in faith. "He staggered not," verse 20, "at the promise of God through unbelief." So he didn't waver. He wasn't double-minded. Now, I want you to understand, it took 25 years for him to get to this point. He was given the promise when he was 75. Well, how come now, 25 years later, he's finally hooked up? It's finally connected. Don't put a time limit on your faith. Did you know your faith doesn't have a shelf life? It doesn't have an expiration date? In other words, you should be able to just stay in faith no matter what happens. I'm in faith. And if you stay in faith, eventually you're going to see the promise. There it is. There's the promise. Woo! But you already knew it. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded," say fully persuaded, "that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Notice, he acknowledged the promise, and the performance was all on God. Abraham had to do the believing, God did the performing, right? It was all on the performing, the bringing it about was all on God. All Abraham had to do was believe that his word was true. He had to hear what God said, which he did. He had to believe, which he did. He was strong in faith. He didn't waver. And then Abraham had to do. Did God tell Abraham to do anything? Huh? Did he tell him to leave his home? Leave his father's house? Leave his country? Yeah, he did that. Did he tell him to give his only son? Yeah, he did that. There were things along Abraham's journey that he had to do to demonstrate his faith. There's going to be things that God's going to ask you to do to demonstrate your faith. And that's where a lot of people don't hook up. They hear, they believe, but they're not doing, and therefore their faith isn't working like it should, and they're not receiving. Check yourself. Make a checklist. Okay, have I heard? Yes. Do I believe? Yes. Am I obeying? Yes. Am I doing? Yes. If you're doing all those things, you will receive. Say, I will receive. Say it again. Say, I will receive. So check up yourself. Ask the Holy Ghost, are you missing it in any of those parts? And Abraham got the results. He received when it was naturally impossible. See, this is why, this is good news about your natural circumstance. In the natural, it looks terrible. But see, you're not dealing with the natural, you're dealing with the Spirit. See, everything that you need is going to come from the Spirit, not the natural. Now, God may use a natural avenue. In other words, if you need finances, He might use a person to get those finances to you. But you have a way to bypass the natural, because the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. So if we're focused on the natural, we're not going to receive what God wants us to have. We got to look beyond the natural into the Spirit. Keep your eyes on the Word, because the Word is spiritual. Keep your eyes on the Holy Ghost. Pray, because He's spiritual. So Abraham believed. He was fully persuaded. You got to get to that point. You haven't believed unless you're absolutely fully persuaded, 100% convinced that what God said is going to happen no matter what. Maybe you're not fully persuaded. How would you persuade yourself more? Huh? Hearing the Word. How does a lawyer persuade a jury to judge in his favor? What does he present to the judge and to the jury? Huh? Evidence. He presents evidence. And a prosecutor must prove beyond a reasonable doubt their case is true. And in order to do that, they use evidence. So if you're not fully persuaded, get more evidence. In other words, get several more scriptures as witnesses for your case. Amen? Well, you're not convinced yet. Let me give you some more evidence. Wait, you're almost convinced, but you're not. Let me give you some more evidence. Oh, you're almost there. Let me give you, okay, now I've got enough evidence. I am fully persuaded. See, if you're not fully persuaded, get more evidence. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen? This is good. I'm about ready to run around this room. I'm excited. You have a need, a want, and a desire. And from the natural, you don't know how it's going to change. So, you get God's perspective. You hear what God says about it. And you hear, and you hear, and you hear, and faith is being built up. You know how God builds something? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Never does He go, poof, faith man, instant faith man. Just add the Word and you'll become instant faith man. Boy, I wish it were like that, but it's not. It takes you getting in this book, being, gathering together in the assembly. Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as such as some do. And he even tells us that in the latter days, you need to spur some people on because they're going to get slack. If people limit their hearing, they're going to limit their believing. If you're not hearing enough, it's like someone who's malnourished. They're not getting the right amount of nutrients in their body, and they're weak. You know, they show those kids on television with the big bellies, but they're real skinny, but they got big bellies because they're malnourished. They're not getting enough of what their body needs. And how many people don't get enough what their spirit needs? They forsake the assembling of themselves together. They're going to limit their believing. If you limit your hearing, you're going to limit your believing. And guess what? If you limit your believing, you're going to limit your receiving. I see the lights coming on. You know, one time, I'll tell you a funny story, and then I think I might close. My parents, my grandfather, he had cataract surgery, and so he couldn't drive anymore. And he had a 79 Pontiac Grand Le Mans four-door, which became my vehicle. It was not the coolest car, but hey, it was a car, and it ran, it was, you know. And the dome light never worked in that car. It quit working. Well, when my sister and I, we were witnessing to my parents, because my oldest sister got born again, I got born again, but my parents were not born again yet. And so they went to this meeting at the church that we got saved at. And would you know that when they left that meeting and got into that car, that dome light came on? It never happened before, it never happened after, but that night, and you know what? It made my mom say, God must be trying to tell me something. But you see how God worked? God will work with you he has several ways to help you hear. You might need to see a sign. You might need to hear a voice. But let me tell you something. God doesn't usually send an angel or a loud voice unless what he's about to tell you is going to rock your world. It's going to make your mind go, huh? Like you're going to have a baby and not know a man, huh? How did Mary have to hear that message? An angel had to appear to her. Because if God would have used another way, she might not have listened or she might not have heard. But God knows exactly how each one of you and me, he knows exactly how you hear. And he will speak to you in the way that he knows that he can speak to you. But you got to hear. And once you hear, you got to believe. You got to make a decision. Okay, I've heard this. Now, do I believe that to be true? You know, and if you're kind of iffy, don't act when you're iffy. Because when you act when you're iffy, it will not work for you. It's like trying to build a house without having a good foundation. It's going to crumble eventually. A little bit of inclement weather and that house is coming down. It takes some time to build a foundation. A foundation is not built in one time. You got to do a lot of digging. You got to do a lot of setting the concrete. You got to make sure that it's on a rock. Okay? So take some time to make yourself persuaded with what you hear. Whenever you hear the word, take some time, think about it, meditate on it, repeat it over and over. Let the Holy Spirit show you some revelation about what you heard. And then you'll be strong in believing. You want to be strong in faith, not weak in faith. I've seen too many people act on weak faith. They take 10-pound faith and try to lift 100-pound weight. What's going to happen if you got 10-pound strength and you try to lift 100-pound weight? That 100-pound weight is going to come crashing down on you. You've got to build your faith from 10 pounds to be able to handle 100 pounds. Otherwise, when you try to lift that 100 pounds, you're going to fail. Too many people try to take on too big of things when they haven't built up the faith to handle it. And that's why people fail. They fail to receive. Because they haven't, maybe they're not fully persuaded. So take some time to get fully persuaded about what God says. Let it get in your heart. All right? Let it become real to you. And then, once it's real to you, an action will follow. Like Bartimaeus, his action was crying out. It could be, your action could be as simple as speaking. That could be the action that's required for that situation. Other action might be doing something else. But your action simply reveals what you believe. Okay? And you will always receive if you do those things. Hear, believe, obey, and act. And you will get what God has prepared for you. Amen? You'll get the good stuff. I think there's a commercial on the radio. You get the good stuff. I don't know what it's advertising, but that phrase just sticks in my mind. I want the good stuff of God. Amen? I want the good stuff for this church. I'm putting my faith out there. Our building now is down to 28,606. Can someone say amen? Amen. We've come a long way from 96,000. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be zero. Man, we're going to have a party. I'm believing that by the end of this year, I need 28 people to give me $1,000 for the building. Or 56 people to give me $500. Amen? Or whatever is beyond that, I don't know. Too much math. But that's what I'm believing for. Amen? It's possible. All things are possible to who? To those who believe. All right? Amen. Well, thank you for coming to this Wednesday night refreshing. And if you... If the Lord puts it on your heart to give an offering or your tithes or whatever, then you can do so. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for your precious word tonight. Lord, I thank you that you are helping us receive. You're helping us walk in your promises. You're helping us have your blessings. You are so good and gracious. We love you, Lord. Bless us tonight as we go. Let us consider these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.